This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Leila O'Hara and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about how to find out if a company's culture is right for you. Most of us spend about 2,000 hours a year at our job. So workplace culture can have a deep impact on our daily lives. Our guest expert this week is Dorianne St. Fleur. She's the founder of the Your Career Girl website. She says job seekers can't take company culture for granted. She and I talk later in the show. You've got a job offer. Congratulations. Before you say yes, however, you want to make sure the position is a good fit for you. Leila has found an article that gives 7 red flags to watch out for when you consider a new job. She tells us more in a moment. You love politics, and you share what you think about current affairs on social media and elsewhere online. Will this hurt you with employers when you do a job search? Should you keep your opinions to yourself? That's our question of the week. It comes from listener Alex Franklin in Portland, Oregon. Jessica shares her advice shortly. As always, let's check in first with the Mac's List team. Leila, Jessica, how are you two doing?
Good, Mac. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Well, Leila, you're up first because you're out there every week searching the nooks and crannies of the internet and looking for books, tools, and websites our listeners can use in a job search and a career. So what have you uncovered this week?
Yes, this week, Mac, I have scoured the internet, as I always do, and I found a great resource from Fast Company. So throughout our careers, we're all on the hunt to find and accept the perfect job offer, and sometimes when a job offer comes along, we're all too eager to jump right in without really examining the company closer. But the reality is you probably don't know everything you need to know about the company's culture, their values, and their work environment from just 1 to 2 quick interviews. So how can you really tell if this job is the right one for you? Fast Company shared a great article that I wanted to share with our listeners that called 7 Red Flags to Watch Out For Before You Accept a Job Offer. So these are all really big glaring warning signs that you should keep in mind before you jump to say yes, and then you find yourself regretting that decision a couple weeks or months later. And I wanted to share just a few of the biggest red flags from the article that anyone who's fielding job offers should keep in mind. The first red flag is a company that doesn't have clearly defined core values. When you're interviewing with the company, ask them what their core values are, that they strive towards, and how employees follow those values on a daily basis. It's one thing for a company to have core values outlined, but it's a big red flag if they can't demonstrate how these values are guiding their weekly and monthly goals.
I really like that.
Yeah, that's one thing that I wouldn't have thought of, but is definitely something that you should kind of think about because, yeah, if their values aren't aligned with yours, then that's not going to be a good fit.
And anyone can just say what their values are, mm-hmm. but if they're not actually following through with them, then that's a problem. But
yeah.
Being able to get some concrete data about that is really – I wouldn't have thought about that either. That's really good.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. And then another more obvious red flag, but one that you should still pay attention to, is bad word of mouth. If you can reach out with other peers that are familiar with the company or associates on LinkedIn that have worked at the company in the past, you can also check Glassdoor and all of those other kind of company review websites. If there's a lack of positive things said about, you know, people's experiences with the company, it's probably not going to work out positively for you. But talk to people you trust first and kind of see what they think before you just trust any anonymous internet reviewer.
It's remarkable how effective those networks can be in communicating how bad things can be inside an organization. I think about an experience in my career where I did go to a work for an organization that had a bad reputation, and it was even worse than people said.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I needed the job at the time, so it turned out well in the end. There were some leadership changes, but I had a pretty clear picture thanks to tapping into the word of mouth network that mm-hmm. you're describing, Leah, yeah. about what I could expect to happen.
Yeah.
I would also say that if you're using LinkedIn, you can also look at how long people have been in those jobs. If there's a lot of turnover that you can notice, that's usually a big sign that there's something going on in the culture or just in the company in general.
Yeah, that's a great idea too. I like that a lot. And finally, there's a more subtle red flag that I wanted to share that you should really pay attention to when you start looking at a company more closely. Observe the start and end of a workday at the company. This one might be a little bit trickier to observe, but if you're going in for an interview, I think there's still kind of ways you can observe their workday hours. And a company with long or unreasonable weekly hours can be a major deal breaker if you just don't want to work super long hours every week like most of us probably. And if you have like I was saying, if you have a morning or late afternoon interview, see how employees who work at the company are arriving or leaving the office. Do they all walk in early, get to their desk, and they seem super happy and excited to be there? Or is everyone in the office like running out the door when the clock strikes 5 p.m. eager to get home? So those are kind of observations that you would need to make in person. And then you can also go back to that word of mouth network that we were talking about to talk to people about, oh, do they have long work hours or does everybody really enjoy working there? And they're a good like work-life balance. So keep all of that in mind. And getting a job offer can be a really exciting time. But I think this article shares some really important reminders about the considerations you should keep in mind before you jump in too quickly.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great suggestions, Leela. Now let's turn to you, our listeners. And Jessica Black is here to answer one of your questions. Jessica, I know you're digging deep into the Maxless mailbag this week. And what do you find there?
We have a great question from Alex Franklin, who's here in Portland. He says, I frequently use social media to discuss progressive politics. This is something I'm passionate about, but my dad suggests that I stop doing this and delete old posts so that I don't scare off potential employers. His argument is that most employers want to avoid politics, so any external expression should be avoided. My take is that being active with these groups is the best way for me to attract the kind of employers who share my values. I'd be interested in hearing your take on this. Is it okay to be politically active while looking for work, or am I shooting myself in the foot? Alex, I think this is a great question and something that, again, has that variable, it depends on who the employer is answer, which is no fun at all, but is just the truth. And it also depends on the type of job that you're looking for or the industry that you're seeking to work in. If the job or if your industry is in politics or social justice, then absolutely, I think being politically active is extremely important and I would argue a necessity for your job. I do agree with you that, you know, in this day and age, it's clear and normal, quote unquote normal, to share one's values. And I think employers especially are doing much more of that as well, of making their own stances clear on their own websites and being more politically active in those ways as well. And so that can sometimes help you align with employers that you're looking to work for. I would also say, your dad is not wrong. I don't think that you should avoid it altogether. I think that there is some merit to sharing how you feel on certain particular issues. But if it's too much or the type of language that you are using, I would be cautious about that area of just, you know, be respectful, be diplomatic, share how you feel about something and share that you're taking a stand and taking however you're being active in the ways that you feel strongly about. But, you know, don't be disparaging to other parties or other people in general, because you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot if you do find an employer that you or a job that you love and feel that you're a great fit for, but it comes back to haunt you because of something that you've said. Those are my particular feedback, pieces of feedback. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I think that's, yeah, that's really apt, Jessica. Yeah, I can't really think of any other things to add, but I would just say that if it's something that's really important to you and something you're really passionate about, then yeah, feel free to speak out about it, but just, yeah, be careful, like what, you know, what words you use and kind of like you were saying, like don't say it in a way that would offend people or make employers kind of take a second look and be like, I don't know if this person's the right fit for our organization. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to hear what you think, Max. Having been in a political organization, I know that it's, and, you know, just working with a lot of people. And
I agree with your point about it, that kind of online comment being appealing to political organizations or elected officials who agree with that perspective. I think you're right about that. And I also think you're even more right about the importance to be respectful.
Yeah.
Because
I think that's true for everyone should be respectful.
Yeah. Because you can take a position and an employer might disagree with what you say, but what they're going to pay attention to is how you say it.
That's right.
And if you do it in a disrespectful or an embarrassing way, that's going to reflect badly on an employer because you're representing that brand and they're going to have second thoughts about hiring you and you may not get an interview as a result. And so you just have to recognize that you will be Googled. We all will
right.
when we apply for positions or contracts or any opportunities. And we have to ask ourselves, what will people see? And we want it to be our best. We want to put our best foot forward.
That's right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Well, thank you both. And we'll be back in just a moment. When we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert, Dorianne St. Fleur, about how to find out if a company's culture is right for you. We live in a digital world, and what we do online can make all the difference in a job search. Consider this. In a recent survey, 98% of recruiters said they use LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter to find candidates. If you're not on these platforms, you're invisible to employers. Yes, social media can be overwhelming, especially for baby boomers like me. That's why I built my free online course, How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. In 3 lessons, I show you how to make the most of social media in your job search. You'll learn what matters most to employers who check you out online, how to create and manage social profiles that attract the attention of hiring managers, and how to use your social accounts to grow and serve your professional network. To sign up for this free course, visit maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. Now, let's get back to the show. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Dorianne St. Fleur. Dorianne St. Fleur is an HR practitioner, diversity and inclusion enthusiast, and a career and salary strategist. She's also the creator of the online career coaching boutique, Your Career Girl, and she hosts the weekly podcast, Deeper Than Work. Dorianne coaches, speaks, and podcasts about how women of color can leverage their unique strengths to decrease the leadership gap in technology and finance. She joins us today from Jamaica in New York. Dorianne, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mac. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm so happy to be here and to talk with you today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And we've got a very interesting topic. And I know it's one that you feel strongly about. And it's company culture and how to find out when you're doing a job search if a firm's culture is right for you. Dorianne, let's start with company culture itself. How do you define that? What does that look like?
Yeah, I'm so glad that we're starting with the definition. I think culture, company culture is something that's thrown around a lot. A lot of people talk about, you know, I'm looking for someone who would fit into my culture at this company, or job seekers say, I want to find a place with the right culture. And just to level set and make sure that we're all on the same page, how I define culture are those unseen, unsaid, intangible behaviors, ideas, you know, just really traditions that every company has. And it's kind of the behaviors that we that people reward in the different companies. So if you think about the company that you've worked for right now or in the past, when you think of those little things, like the way in which we hold meetings, the way in which we speak to each other, the way in which we dress, all of these intangibles all make up a company's culture.
And what kind of factors contribute to a company's culture? How does a company come to be the way it is?
Yeah, I think it's really based on the company's values and whether or not the company actually has stated values, you know, like, oh, these are our four pillars or these are our eight principles. It can be that formal, or it can be something, again, that's unsaid and that people kind of just know how the what the culture is. But it's really at the core what the company values. What sorts of behaviors do they reward? What sorts of behaviors do they punish? How do people, you know, all come together, and what makes up the status quo? So I think it's, you know, at the core, it's the values. It's the people then that we hire into the these companies and how they continue to support those values. And all of this is just a cycle that really continues to build upon itself and creates that company culture.
So you're a job seeker and you recognize the company culture matters, and because you're going to be spending so much time every day in that environment. How do you figure out when you're on the outside what that culture is like? What clues can you look for or follow either online or once you're inside doing interviews?
Yeah, I think it's the first step, honestly, is we might take it for granted, Mac, and we might say, well, you know, yeah, we all know that culture is important, but I don't think a lot of job seekers do know it's important, or they don't think about it during that process. They're not empowered enough to say that I'm going on a job search and yes, I want to find another opportunity, but I am also in the driver's seat here. And as much as I'm being interviewed for this role, I'm also interviewing this company. So I think step number one is to realize that you are more empowered than you think. There's a lot that you can do in this process, and you have the right to think about, where do I want to spend my time? We spend most of our time at work. We spend more time with people there than we do with people in our homes. So we should enjoy where we are and enjoy who we're with. So step number one is to understand that I am empowered in this process and I actually can be deliberate about the culture that I'm seeking. And then I'd say step number two is to ask. You know, we can think about what's important for us in a culture. What type of environment really motivates you as a job, as you're looking for your next opportunity? What motivates you? What makes you happy? Where do you think you'll thrive? And then start with some information interviews about companies that may have piqued your interest and ask those questions. You know, what sort of behaviors are praised here? Or what sort of people thrive here? Or, you know, this is what I need in an environment. Would you say that the environment that you work at is conducive to that? I think these are all questions that you can ask before you even get on the interview. And then once you get on the interview, I think it's also important to embed those questions in the process. So for example, if work-life balance is something that's important for you, you need a culture that values being able to do things outside of work. If you, you know, have a family, or if you have, you know, another business that you're running, or if you, you know, are part of your local church or charity or whatever it is, find out what are the thoughts behind that. Do people work at all hours? Is it frowned upon to take a day off to go volunteer someplace? There's definitely ways that you can embed these questions in your process. When at the end of an interview, when they're like, do you have any questions for me? Use that opportunity not only to ask, you know, kind of the business related questions and, you know, those kind of prepared questions that you have, but also dig into the culture. Think about the things that you need and make sure that you're asking the right kinds of questions. And I'd say lastly, pay attention, open your eyes. When you're walking into that company and you're looking around, are people laughing? Are they, you know, people just kind of with headphones, just heads down and no one's talking to each other? Does it seem lively? How are people dressed? All of the things that are important to you, look around and pay attention. And during that process, look out for clues that let you know, would this culture be one where I would thrive?
Dorianne, I really like your emphasis on the fact that a job seeker is in the driver's seat. They can, in fact, ask questions about culture, and they don't have to take it for granted. What suggestions do you have for people to help them figure out how to determine what parts of company culture are most important to them? How can they get clear about their own priorities when they're considering what matters to them in a company culture?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Mac. I think the first thing is to really do some reflection and understand that there's no such thing as the perfect culture. Every culture will have some areas where you really love and you resonate with, and some other areas not so much. So let's take a little bit of pressure off as job seekers and realize that there is a prioritization that I'm going to have to do. There isn't any place that's quote unquote perfect, but there is a place that really aligns well with what my priorities are. So once you realize that, then now start to think about what motivates you. So what type of environment do you need? And really specific about, like, do I need windows? Do I need to be in a cubicle? Do I need to be in an office? Do I want an open area? Really think about the physical layout of what you want. What types of work style do you work best in, and how would you like your coworkers to be? Sit down and reflect around that. Think about past jobs that you've had and what really worked well about those environments versus what didn't. Also think about what makes you happy. And I know it may sound, you know, fluffy, like happy, like, you know, happiness at work. Yes, it's possible to be happy at work. You know, what sorts of things do you enjoy? It can be simple as snacks, being at a place that has free snacks or access to places for lunch that you really enjoy. Like, these things may seem small, but they really do play into the culture that you're going to be there. And then also think about things like, yes, work-life balance and the hours that you work and what type of work you're doing. All of that feeds into it as well. Just really start to list all of these things out. And then what I like to do with my clients is, okay, so now that you've put all this out there, let's take it a step further and think about what are the non-negotiables, and tying it back to the fact that nothing will be perfect. There won't be a place where every single thing that's on your list is, you know, accounted for. But think about, how do I rank order these things? Is my commute more important than, you know, the snacks that are there? Is the type of manager I have less important than the type of colleagues that I have? Think about what's the order of importance and how do these things matter? And then drill down into what are your non-negotiables. And then that's where you can start this process. And so if they're your non-negotiables, these are things that, you know, if I don't have these things, I will not be happy. I will not be engaged. I will not thrive. Then those are the things that you hone in on, and you make sure that your next opportunity has those things. And everything else will just be gravy on top, right? If they have it, great. If they don't, fine. But really be honest with yourself about what you need. And understand that what you need is different from what I need. And that depending, and also what you need now is different from what you needed 5 years ago. That this is a ongoing process, it's a work in progress. And so just trust that at for where you are right now in your career, you know what you need, you know what you want. Sit down, have that honest conversation with yourself, think about what the non-negotiables are, and then go from there.
I'm curious, Dorianne, do you see a difference in generations about what matters in culture? For example, I would guess, and I know you work with people at all different stages of their careers, but I would guess that millennials probably care a lot more about flexibility than perhaps boomers. But what's been your experience?
Yeah, I don't like to talk about generational differences in broad strokes like that. I think the bigger differences come to play in just where people are in their lives. And for the most part, yes, if you're a millennial, you're in a different stage in your life than a boomer, but sometimes not. So I think that just depending on what your priorities are and where you are. If I think about my own, you know, career journey, I consider myself a millennial. I'm an elder millennial, I guess is what they call me. And right now, you know, I need to make sure that I have a flexible schedule where I can take off to go to my daughter's play, or, you know, or go on vacation when she's off from school at the end of the year, at the end of the summer, whatever it is. Whereas a couple of years ago, that just wasn't my focus and wasn't what I wanted. Yes, I still wanted flexibility, but for other reasons. And then I have some millennials who are like, no, this is like the prime of my life. I'm not really tied down right now. And so I want to make sure that I, you know, can work as much as I can and make as much money and really climb the ladder. I think it just depends on where people are and what their goals are. And I don't want people to think about that, oh, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. Think about literally where you are right now and what you need to thrive in your career, and then go from there.
And you mentioned asking questions during the job interview process and being pretty direct and candid about that in doing your research. What about online research? Are there sites that you're that you recommend that people look at to get clear about a company's culture?
Yeah, I think everyone knows about Glassdoor.com. I think that's always a place to start. There's also a site called Fairy God Boss, which is similar to Glassdoor in that there are company reviews and salaries, but then it's geared toward women. And then there's just also just, you know, Facebook, like your ask your friends, ask people that you know, LinkedIn. You can personal message people that work at companies that you could potentially be interested in. I think we're in a space right now where there are a lot of avenues for people to understand where employers stack up when it comes to culture and what employers are doing right and what they're doing not so well at. So it's just really up to the job seeker to just be creative and figure out how they can find out information about their company's culture.
And if you have a job offer, it's one you're excited about, but you don't feel good about the company culture, do you recommend people turn down a job? How do you make a choice like that?
I would definitely recommend people take a long, hard look at things. You know, I think we've said this a couple times so far, Mac, but we spend so much time at work. And yes, the money may be amazing and it may be in a great part of town or a really exciting industry, but you're spending so much time there. And if you don't feel like you belong, if you don't feel like the culture is conducive to what you need, if you feel like it's more for, you know, extroverted, type A people, and anyone who's different from them will just not thrive. Or if you feel like you'll have to pull in all-nighters and work 12 hours a day where you have these other obligations outside of work, these are things that you really should take into account. And you shouldn't make yourself miserable. I think job seekers find that, yes, they may say this is a great opportunity and they take it. And within 3 to 6 months, they're ready to do something else. If you don't take the time to really be deliberate about the culture that you're looking for and making sure that you're finding some place that aligns with the culture values that you need, then you'll end up being unhappy. So I guess the short answer is that, yeah, I'd suggest that you really take a hard look and consider turning it down if it doesn't meet at least your non-negotiables.
Okay. Great advice, Dorianne. Now tell us, what's next for you?
What's next for me is, you know, I'm always trying to empower and support women who are looking to climb the corporate ladder. Anyone who is in technology or finance and really looking to, you know, get that next promotion, negotiate that next raise, or land that dream job that with a company that really aligns with their values and what they're looking in a culture, then I am coaching women through that process.
Well, I know you also have a lot of great resources on your website. I had a chance to check out your blog and listen to an episode of your podcast. We'll include links to both of those sites in the show notes, and listeners who are standing by with notepad and pen can jot down the URL yourcareergirl.com, which is where they can find out more about you, your company, and the great free resources you offer job seekers. Dorianne, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Mac. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Take care. We're back in the MaxList studio with Jessica and Leela. So what are your thoughts about my conversation with Dorianne? What did you two think?
Yeah, I thought she had a lot of great points, Mac. And one of the things that struck me that she said was, or that she touched on, was that company culture isn't just the culture. Like, it encompasses all these other factors, like work-life balance, the hours that you put in on a daily basis, just the dynamics between like employees like working at the company. So those are all kind of things that fall under the umbrella of company culture that you might not think about.
Yeah, I liked her emphasis on that too.
Yeah.
And like the proximity to restaurants around work. That struck me as something that I don't think people think about a lot.
Yeah, so it can mean all of these different things that you should be considering before you decide to work for a company, because, you know, if those things don't align with what's important to you, then it's not going to work out.
Yeah, I really liked that as well, is that it's not just the time inside the office, it's all of the factors that encompass that. And I think that she delivered all of those messages in a really powerful way of giving a lot of, myself included, a lot of people things to think about when you think about company culture. And I also liked her emphasis on the evolution of your needs about company culture, of that it's not always going to be the same thing that you're not going to have the same needs that you had in the past or that you will have in the future. And the importance of checking in with yourself on a regular basis about what you need to give yourself that work-life balance or to support the needs that you have to allow yourself to thrive in the hours that you are at the office and making sure that it's the best possible fit.
I liked her emphasis on the importance of figuring out what you want, the individual, and every company has a different culture, and while it might not be a good fit for you, it may be a fantastic fit for someone else. And I think about places where I wasn't happy as I would wish with the company culture, but I looked around me and there were other people who just loved it.
Yeah.
And they were in the right place and they figured out what mattered to them, and they found it and they thrived as a result.
Yeah, I think it is. It's really important to just know what you need to be happy. I liked her point about, you know, happiness isn't a fluffy, you know, ideal. It's something that it really will bring value to the work that you're producing as well, and that it's important to think about what does make you happy because it benefits in a lot of ways. And then, you know, search that out and have those informational interviews and talk to people about where that is of the things that you need.
Yeah, agreed. Well, thank you both. And thank you, Dorianne, for the great conversation. I want to share a special announcement with you. 3 years ago, last month, we recorded the first episode of this podcast. And since then, we published a show every Wednesday. That's 155 episodes. We've also produced more than 50 bonus segments. That's more than 200 programs in all. Along the way, we've created a community of thousands of listeners, and we've shared with you, our listeners, actionable tips from career experts around the world. Every month, the show gets downloaded more than 22,000 times, and we know that 85% of you live outside of Oregon, our home state. More than 25% of you, our listeners, live outside the United States. I say all that just to say thank you for your support and to let you know that we're excited to begin our fourth year of production. Starting next week, we're moving to a new format. Now, we're going to keep showing up every Wednesday morning in your podcast feed. But in future shows, we're going to focus on interviews alone, and I'm going to start hosting the show alone. This change will let us have more in-depth conversations with our career experts, and as a result, you, the listener, will get even more practical job hunting advice and tips. We plan to keep releasing once a month a separate interview as a bonus episode with a successful job seeker. So, Jessica, Leela, I just want to thank you both personally for being such great co-hosts. You've done a terrific job, and obviously you're not going anywhere. We've got plenty of work for you, important work to serve our community here at MaxList. But it's been such a pleasure hosting the show with you.
Thank you, Mac. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Mac. It's been really fun. Yeah. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it's I'm going to miss having you on the show, and I'm glad that we're going to continue to be in the same office working together.
Yes. Like you said, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us every week. It's really a privilege to serve you, and it's such an honor that you let us into your earbuds, and we get notes from many of you, and we're grateful to hear from you. So keep that email coming, and the MaxList mailbag remains open.
Yeah. Our emails still work, so if you want to send them to us.
That's right.
All right. Well, terrific. Well, thank you both, and thank you, Dorianne, and our listeners for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. And don't forget to put your best foot forward online today. Get my free online course. It's called How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. And you can download it for free at maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. And join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Jessica Hernandez. She's going to talk with me about signs that it might be time to leave your job. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.